Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
On the first day back at school, the Taoiseach won the support of primary school kids all over the country by saying, "No homework." Ha ha. But should he have gone further? Should he have banned it altogether? It's that question. Should we be giving primary school kids homework? Well, I'm delighted to say child psychotherapist Colman Nochter is on the line to discuss. Good morning, Colman. It's great to have you on again.
Good morning, Jen. How are you keeping?
I'm good. Now, speaking as a child psychotherapist, should we look again at the idea of primary school homework? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, first and foremost, I probably have to say I hated homework as a child, and I probably have never grown out of that. So from the point of view, there may be a bit of bias in that.
But,
I think from the point of view, being a psychotherapist, I'm full aware, I probably see the bad side of homework. But for 20 years of working with families, it becomes a bone of contention for, and it's usually children with additional needs around learning or dyslexia, dyspraxia, that this becomes this torturous activity. And I suppose over the last year, we've all gone through a bit of reflection. And personally, I'm kind of thinking, you know, a cost-benefit analysis has been kind of something I've been thinking about. And the homework thing really has come to the fore. We had the homeschooling experience. We had that month, I think, when we went back in September, where there was no homework across the board. And we had, as you say, that the National No Homework Day. It makes such a difference to the mood at home, the spirit of even my own children here. But also, I mean, is there a benefit to this? I've yet to be convinced that there is. I mean, I've heard the arguments. You get children into the habit of studying, and therefore they'll study for their leaving cert. But my question then is, does that have to start in junior infants? And then the issue of it helps parents to kind of keep an eye on how their child are progressing. But surely there's a better way of doing that other than going through it. And I've always said, you know, the children who are conscientious, want to work and want to do and want to study, will kind of do homework fairly easily, and it might not be a problem. It's children who genuinely find that they're tired, they're exhausted, and the thoughts of having to do it, there is a kind of an injustice to it. Mm. And I oftentimes feel they're going through the motions. My homework was done on the knee and going on the 65 bus in at 8:20 in the morning. It wasn't anything that I necessarily felt I learned from. It was something I had to endure.
But you said, Colman, there that you might be a little bit biased because you never liked homework. I would confidently say that even kids who are good at it can get it done quickly. I don't think any kid enjoys that time where they have to come in out of a sunny day while they're playing with their friends and sit down and do their homework across the board. But do you think that your work makes you maybe overly conscious of a minority who struggle with homework?
I would say that only a friend and colleague of mine, Jen Hogan, who writes for the Irish Times,
yeah, she's
quite openly about this. And, you know, anytime she has this conversation, whether it be on social media, there's a huge interest in parents across the globe who are saying, why are we doing this? Take the homeschooling experience. Like, I was sitting here and, you know, the tension in the house was stress. Everyone was up the walls. And it was like, do I need to get these three maths finished and actually spend the next half an hour doing this and everyone getting stressed? Or am I just going to close this book and go for a walk? And I decided I'm going to take control of this and, you know, manage the temperature of my own home rather than feeling compelled to have this submitted because it's creating too much stress. And I just think that we should be, it's a crude instrument to say you have to do these six questions. Because as you say, the kid who maybe doesn't love homework, but maybe they're good at it. Mm. So the six questions get done in 10 minutes. The other kid with a learning need is an hour and a half trying to get through it, is flopping over the table, taking breaks every 5 minutes, using the bathroom. And there's a really stressed parent trying to, and I do believe that we need to form a relationship with school for children to get them to buy in. I largely think school is self-motivated. So when you get a child at 16, 17 years of age, the one thing we can't do is make a child study. We just cannot do it. And parents are at their wits' end trying to ask me that question, how do you do it? And my answer is you can't. They have to do it themselves. It has to be an internal motivation. And I would say incentivizing a child to develop a relationship with school and education is by far a better outcome than, like, it feels a bit like, you know, the beatings will continue until morale improves. Mm-hmm. And I'm not so sure that necessarily works. Plus, and I've seen this in the last year especially, those young people who are fifth and sixth year, the amount of homework that they are getting. And I know this is probably because of the predictive grades things and all that. And we just interviewed a group of secondary school kids, Jen, and they were saying, you know, they were doing 3 and 4 hours of homework a night in fifth year because they had a chemistry test on Monday and then a mother maths, because I guess, again, all these class tests are about, you know, with the option of if predictive grade comes into it. So the levels of being overwhelmed. What happened was the kid who's really conscientious and wants to do well is completely stressed out with the overload. And the kid who's on the periphery, who's not really sure whether they want to buy into our education, will just opt out. And I don't see how there's any benefit to anybody by overloading them with a workload. Again, I don't see where there's a benefit to any particular student in that. Do you know what I mean?
A UK study last week said that kids play unsupervised 2 years later than their parents did. Would young kids be better off with more free play outdoors instead of homework, would you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a definitely a case for life skills. You know what I mean? I put on Twitter, I had my young fella changing a puncture during lockdown the first time, and it was kind of, you know, people were saying, "Oh, that's really good that he's learned to do that." But again, from the point of view of, I suppose the issue around the adult supervision, I think there's a lot of adult control at the moment that's different. Like, as I say, I walked to and from primary school, and oftentimes, you know, hitched a lift, you know, and if I saw my own child do that, I'd be horrified. You know, the world is a different place, and our fears and all that. But I think maybe adult supervision, every child's activity is adult supervised. It's all very structured, it's all very planned and manufactured, and even play dates and things like that. And I do think there's probably we're disabling a child's social incentive to be able to make those links. But because we are where we are, I think we have to step back from that gradually. I don't think just allowing, you know, 20 children into a field and saying mix is probably going to work out too well, especially for the more shy or reserved child. They may need that little bit of extra scaffolding. But maybe we should work towards making children more autonomous in terms of making their own decisions around play, because that's how you learn to be a risk assessor, is by making, you know, will I jump over this river or not? Does that stepping stone look safe or not? And you learn more by, you know, falling into the river and falling off the tree than you do not. And I think we have to give children, they'll be better decision makers if they've more decisions to make.
That's a very good point. Let's talk about the here and now. What are the opportunities that the pandemic has presented us with in primary schooling?
I think from the point of view of, do we want to, we've been on pause for a year and 13 months. Do we want to press play exactly where we were before? I don't think so. I think we can look at things like things that were taking ages to happen have happened really quickly. We talked about, you know, the possibility of online therapy for about 5 years. Jen, it happened in 2 weeks once this pandemic happened. So what we've said is we can actually make things happen much quicker now than we ever did before. And so when we press play again, do we want to go back to hectic scheduling, same old homework, just because we've done it all the time? You know, if you did what you always did, you get what you always got. And I just think there's an opportunity in the pause to readdress things that probably archaically have outstayed their welcome. And I think, you know, there's lots of things about extracurricular activities. You know, do we want to go back to standing on GAA pitches and soccer pitches all day on Saturday, or should we cut that down a little bit? The reevaluation of family time and a lot of things that we took for granted, I think, have probably come to the fore. You know, even the presence of grandparents and all that sort of stuff. I really hope, and we've heard good news this week that things might be starting to open up, that we hold on to those learnings. I really, like, COVID has been dreadful on the whole, but we should never waste a good crisis, you know.
On your list, on your wish list as a child psychotherapist, and with the experience you've had over the last few months of, well, maybe not the last few months, maybe pre-COVID, would homework be up there as a top priority to reevaluate and look at?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the number one indicator for children's mental health is bullying. I would love to find a way that we could address that. Second to that is expectation and pressure, and parental pressure. I think we need to get a grip as parents. And
is that
really
what you mean with standing on the GAA pitch, you know?
But I think this idea that, you know, we vicariously want our children to, we need our children to be good at everything and confident at everything and good, you know, that we're driving the agenda that, you know, why can't my kid count to 10? That kid can count to 10, you know, and you're kind of saying, well, it's play school. Do you know what I mean? That's, you're kind of missing the point. I think we need as parents to take a step back and actually, you know, readjust our expectations for well-being and self-worth and self-belief more than confidence and performance. I think we've become too outcome focused and not effort focused, and I'd love to see us concentrate a bit more on effort, and I'd love to see the prizes in school, Jen, be something other than sport and academics. Do you know what I mean? I'd love to see a prize for overcoming adversity.
Award.
Yeah, but not in a Rosa Tralee way, but in a kind of like maybe a child who's lost a parent or something and has come through that adversity, or a child who has really bought into the community of the school and helped, you know, out in certain things, or, you know, a kind or generous kid that's kind of stepped out of their comfort zone to do something new. I just think maybe the accolades that we have are a little bit narrow.
I just say the Lovely Girl Award because I did a talk in my old secondary school in St. Mary's, Baldoyle, shout out, and it has changed so much in the 20 years or whatever. And they actually had an award because it's an all-girl secondary school. They had an award for a girl. It was nominated by all the pupils, and it wasn't for grades or anything like that. It was kindness. It was a kindness award, really, and it kind of blew me away because the first time I saw it or heard of it, I thought that is a really, really nice thing to do, to get, you know, to award someone for being kind to other kids in this school. So you think we need more of that kind of thing?
I just think we're rounded people. We learn in different ways. You know, if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it's going to feel like a failure all its life. Do you know what I mean? I think we have to be much more creative in how we assess children's ability and, you know, look for their skill sets outside of a kind of a narrow performance rated way. And I think probably homework falls into that, because I do think it's a fairly crude measurement of rote learning and learning off spellings and learning off timetables. And maybe there's children who are just not good at that, but they have other skill sets that we really need to be able to tap into. You know, good educators show you where to look. We don't tell you what to see. And I think from that point of view, that's really important.
Well, thank you so much for that, Colman Nochter. And I hope to speak to you again soon. Thanks for that, Colman.
Great stuff. All the best, Jen.
Bye-bye. I really want to know what you guys think, because I'm getting a lot of texts into 51552. Do you think primary school homework should be banned forever? Let me know. Colman Nochter is a child psychotherapist. I just want to thank him again for joining us on the show. Just to give you an example of some of the texts coming in on homework. It is ridiculous not to have homework, this texter says. It is important for them to learn and develop. They were off for months not learning much in that period. Kids need to learn and use their brain. Homework will help kids to understand what they learned during the day. Then someone else says, Jen, as an employee, you wouldn't expect to come home after an 8-hour day and do an extra couple of hours work after dinner every day, would you? Someone else says, hi Jen, in Finland teachers don't give homework and they have the best education system in the world. Have your say. 51552.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.